Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener shares three dreams that had an impact while awake. A father returns to tell his daughter one last goodbye. Could something have been attached to a gift given to a listener by a suspicious person? And a blind listener describes how her guide dog protected her from the paranormal. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
Hello.
Did you ever worry that maybe the cloth that you're making that pillow out of was at one time involved in some sort of dark ritual behind a grain shed in the fields of Kansas?
Yeah, I'm really concerned about the history of this chicken feed sack.
It is a lovely pillow you're making out of the chicken feed sack, by
the way.
Thank you. You never know.
No, nothing's ever happened with this. No.
No, and that's true, because you really do have a good sense of odd feelings on objects. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm like nowhere near like feeling weird, like, okay, let's go. Let's get out of here. And I'm not just talking about the Titanic Museum. It's occurred at other locations as well. Antique stores and such. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't like this booth. But I trust you. Anna is our first writer today on the show. Of course, she wrote into the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and you can write in there as well, or call in at 855-853-4802. She writes in, hey guys, Anna from Cleveland, wanting to write in and tell you about our resident ghost, but something just happened to me this weekend that I want to share. These are three dream stories that I'll tell from oldest to last Thursday night. Since I was born, both of my great-grandmas lived with my grandparents. I was very close with my granny, Wilma, my mom's mom's mom. She was so full of life, even at the age of 84, she'd go fishing, play crosswords, tend to her sunflowers outside, and fry up some bomb-ass walleye the southern way. I still have so many fond memories of her to this day. Well, in 2004, when I was only 9 years old, the two packs of cigarettes a day for 69 years finally caught up to her, and she found out she had lung cancer. My grandparents and grannies were snowbirds, Florida in the winter and Ohio in the summer. When she found out she had stage 3 cancer, they were down in Florida. My mother flew down to go visit with her in early May, and she brought me back up a stuffed little pig that my granny, Wilma, wanted me to have. About 2 months later, I was lying in bed with my piggy and praying for my granny to get better so she can come and see our new house. That's when I had the best dream of my life. I was on my grandpa's boat, and my granny, Wilma, was sitting on the bow with her pole in the water. We had a long talk about family, God, and love. She asked me to name my first son Alexander, her true first love's name. She told me that she loves our new house, and my stepdad will treat my brother and I much better than my biological father has. Lastly, she said that every time I need a hug, to hug my piggy, and she'll be hugging back. The next day, my mom, stepdad, brother, and I went up to the mall, which we never, ever did. I could just feel my mom's energy. She was putting on her strong face for us, but was hurting inside. My mom told us that we each needed to pick out a nice black outfit, so when we were at Kaufman's department store, I went up to my mom and pulled out the pig from my purse and told her to hug it. She looked at me with confusion, and I said, matter-of-factly, "Granny's okay now." She told me last night that if I needed a hug, to hug my pig, and she'll be there, hugging back. My mom lost it and just started to break down and cry. Then she proceeded to tell my 4-year-old brother and I that she passed away the night before. Fast forward to 2010, my sophomore year of high school, my granny, Ree, my mom's dad's mom, was in hospice down in Florida. Now, I wasn't as close to her as I was with my other granny, but my little brother was super close to her. As I recall, it was a normal school night for me. I was lying on my bed, texting my boyfriend at the time, listening to music and doing homework. Out of nowhere, my piggy fell off my dresser. I had no explanation for it falling off. It hadn't moved in that spot since I was 12 or 13. So after homework and whatnot, I went to bed. Once again, my granny Wilma visited me in my dream. This time, it wasn't such a grand experience. In a nutshell, she told me that my little brother, Ian, and I had to call Granny Ree first thing in the morning. I told her that she wasn't communicating, so there was no point. She told me I was being selfish, and if I didn't call her, I would regret it. So lo and behold, the next morning, I called my grandma and had her put Ian and I on speaker in my granny's room. We told her we loved her. We sang "You Are My Sunshine" to her, and we told her we couldn't wait to see her again. 27 minutes after we said our goodbye, she stopped holding on. I believe that my granny Ree was waiting for us, or even just my brother, to talk to her one more time. So lastly, I know this is getting long, but this one I'll make quick. Thursday night was same old, same old. Nothing spectacular happened until I went to bed. I had a dream that I was sitting in a park that I've never seen before, and this bigger woman with frizzy blonde hair walked up to me and said hello. I said hi back, and then she said, "Where's Alexander?" I asked her how the F she knew my son's name, and she said, "Well, I'm his grandmother." No, you're not," I said, standing up from the swing. She laughed and said, "Great, grandmother. I'm Peggy's mom. I'm your boyfriend's grandma, Susie." Looking at her, I could see a lot of Peggy, my boyfriend Ryan's mom, in her. She told me to sit, and she grabbed my hand. She told me how she's always watched over Ryan and his brother, and how we have the most beautiful baby. I asked her why she came to me. Was she lonely? Did she have a message for me, for Peggy, for Ryan? And she looked at the ground. She said, and quote, "You and Ryan need to take that beautiful baby to my mother's house before the end of the weekend. She needs to see him one more time." I asked her what she meant by "one more time," and all she said was, "You have to promise me you'll take him." Then I woke up. It was 3:30 a.m. on the dot, and Alex was crying. The next morning, I asked Ryan if he had a picture of his grandma, and sure enough, it was her. I told Ryan about my dream, and we decided we would go. So Sunday, Ryan and I both had off work, and we visited my son Alexander's 91-year-old great-great-grandma. We took Peggy as a buffer and spent an hour over at her house. She just lit up when she saw him, and we had a great visit. We took a picture of him sitting on her lap that we will keep and cherish forever. Today is Tuesday. Last night, she fell. She wasn't wearing her life alert, and one of her other grandchildren found her this morning. The funeral will be this weekend. I know I'm sensitive and an empath, and that's why I'm sure Susie came to me. These are the only dream stories I've had. I've had so many paranormal experiences in my short time here on this planet for 10 full lifetimes, I believe. Thank you guys for all you do. Much love and good vibes. Anna from Cleveland.
Well, that kind of answers one of our questions.
Which one?
If the dead know when others are going to die.
It does, and it seems that it's not just like a demonic force that knows these things or angelic force. It seems to be relatives.
Right. And, you know, you can say, okay, the Granny Ree, the second one,
mm-hmm.
Okay, she was in hospice. Everybody knew her time was coming. So that one wasn't so much of a surprise as the last one was.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that kind of solidifies that they kind of know when that's going to happen, because there's no way that anybody would have guessed that she would have fallen and died.
Yeah, with it being like that, it's like, mm-hmm. Nope, now time to go.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And the correlations there. That's a great example of a story where a dream then actually has a validity to it being somewhat paranormal with, I've never seen this woman in my life. Go look at the picture later. Yep, that's the woman from my dream. And just the events and all of that that then take place that are foretold in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, not just, I had a weird feeling. What was that? You know, it was, there's so much more to this. So, very interesting story. Great examples of dream stories and the paranormal interacting. Thank you for sharing that with us here on the show. The number, of course, 855-853-4802. If you'd like to share a real ghost story with us, you are more than welcome to. You can also write in on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, as we always say, if you enjoy the show, it is funded by our listeners that enjoy it. $5 a month is all we ask. You get, of course, all these episodes that are free. And then you get the bonus paid episode every week, the bonus EPP episode. Brand new one every single week for you. More than 80 of them there. You get to download all of them when you sign up. So it's not like, oh, you only get the new ones going forward. Nope, you get the archive. You get all of those episodes, exclusive video content and everything else for $5 a month. Or you can sign up for a full year and get 1 month free. It's up to you how you want to do it. But if you like the show, please consider helping us keep it on the air. Hannah writes in, growing up, my home life was pretty rocky and there were a lot of dark things going on in my family, which may have been why we had so many dark presences following us around. I've had a lot of very strange experiences in my life that have kind of numbed me to the paranormal, to the point where it takes a lot to scare me. I'd like to tell you about the two earliest things I remember, though. The first was when I was 5 or 6 years old. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and seeing this tall, dark shadow standing at the end of my bed. I've always been able to kind of emotionally feel the people around me, like, can feel who they really are and what they're feeling. And so it was easy that I had no idea who this person was. All I could see was that it was if someone had outlined a person and completely colored them in with black. Just a very, very dark shadow. And I could feel that they were incredibly, incredibly angry. I never felt anything more angry and hostile in my life. The entire situation ended up being so overwhelming for my little kid brain that I ended up just falling back asleep. The second experience that I remember was a few years back. My brother and I were sharing a room with bunk beds. I need the bell.
Yeah, you
I
do.
I need the bell. I know it's coming soon. I just got a message the other day from one of our listeners. Bunk beds at the time, and I was around 8 or so years old. Our beds were up against the wall opposite the door, so at night I could lie facing the door and watch my parents go about their evening. One night I woke up pretty late to find the same type of shadow as before standing in my doorway. It was as tall as the door frame and took up most of the doorway. My little kid mind didn't think much of the fact that there weren't any features to it, just shadow. And I remember assuming that it was my dad coming to check on us and watching it for a while before I went back to sleep. When I asked my dad why he had come to check on us the night before, both he and my mom said that they had slept the whole night through. The strange thing is that as my three siblings have gotten older, they've all told me without knowing anything about my stories that at different points in their childhood, they saw a shadow figure as tall as the door standing in their doorway in the middle of the night and watching them. It seems as though whatever that figure was and a few other things followed us from my childhood home in Chicago to the home of my teenage years in Utah, which makes me think that it's not our houses that are haunted, but our family.
You know what's really frustrating about shadow people?
What?
Is you can't tell if it's the same one or a different one. You know, it could be a different shadow person at a different home in a different state, but mm-hmm. You don't know.
My question, and this is another confusing thing about them, because we have a lot of stories, for whatever reason, with a lot of shadow people wearing hats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but that seems to be part of the outline a lot of times. Can they ever take their hat off to be more inconspicuous? Like one day, it's the hat man. The next day, this is the hat man. But it really is. He just took his hat off and put it somewhere.
I don't know.
You know, can you change your clothing, or mm-hmm. essentially, or accessories
mm-hmm.
as a shadow person?
That's weird. I don't know.
Is that all always part of you?
I would think it's probably always part of how they project themselves.
It's just now that's you and you have no options anymore. I don't know. You're right, though. It is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Be no way to really know. I mean, other than the energy that someone picks up off of something, sometimes you have it where it's like, And I saw them, and they looked really dark and grim, but I didn't feel bad. And then you have other times where it's like, it was the scariest feeling in the world, you know. I'd be very bad at that, because I'd feel like it's the worst thing in the world no matter what.
Okay.
Just out of fear.
Uh-huh.
Out of like, if I suddenly saw that thing, I don't know that I have it in me to not be like, oh, I'm calm. I just feel totally cool right now. I don't know.
You don't think you could do that?
No.
Okay.
No, not with something like that. I mean, I can handle that some, you know, in like a real life situation where it's, you know, tangible things and people and, you know, bad things happening, like an emergency or something, that I can stay fairly calm in. But if I saw that, I wouldn't go into freak out mode, but I think I would feel, I don't know how I would not feel scared.
Sure.
You know, I don't know, unless it's one of those things where, until you experience it and they're projecting something at you and it's very strong and you just get some sort of weird comfort out of it. I don't know.
I would think everybody would be afraid the first time.
Sure.
And then if you see the shadow person over and over, then maybe you get used to it and you feel you can get more of a true reading on whether or not it's threatening.
I agree on that. I think if it was like a regular occurrence, it would, you know, go down in the area of anxiety.
Yeah.
I think the first time, no matter what, it'd be very confusing, especially if it was projecting something at you that somehow made you feel calm. And then you're intermixing your inner self of just, oh my God, I'm freaking out. And you have this weird sense of fear and calm all at the same time. Mm-hmm. That would be me. That's exactly what I would do. Melissa writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I have quite a few stories, mainly because I played the Ouija board a lot as a teen. I wanted to share one with you today. When I was 10 years old, my dad got very sick. He was rushed to the hospital in heart failure. He was in the intensive care unit for 21 days, and for 21 days, my mom stayed by his side. During that time, she never once came home, and since Daddy did so much better with her by his side, the nurses and doctors of the intensive care unit let her break the rules. She pulled in one of those funky hospital reclining chairs into the unit. If someone in the unit coded, Mom had to close the curtains around Dad's bed to stay out of the way. Anyway, on night number 21, I had a dream. In my dream, my dad was sitting up in the hospital bed, and he said, goodbye, Melissa. I love you. Tell my siblings, or tell... this is the writer saying, tell your brother and sister, essentially. I love them, too. Then, he started slowly floating upwards in a shaft of light. After the dream, I got up to use the restroom. On my way back to bed, I looked at the time on the microwave, and it said 4:53. The next morning, my mom woke me up. I was so excited to see her at home, where she belonged, and asked if my dad was finally home, too. My mom had to tell me that Daddy wasn't coming home. His time of death was 3:54, less than an hour before I checked the time on the microwave.
I wonder if he was able to visit the other siblings, too.
Be an interesting addition to the story, if that is the case. Although, maybe he did it, maybe, and maybe he knew he couldn't or wasn't going to be able to, and that's why he gave that message.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, if you have the opportunity to do that and go back, that's a nice bonus, if you will, for a really horrible situation where you're able to actually get that goodbye where there's no other way she could have. You know, she wasn't at the hospital. He probably wasn't very conscious. It just happened that he was able to reach out to her and still make some sort of a connection right at the very end there. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that story and sharing that experience with us. Our next letter, in early November of this past year, our family had to put two of our four dogs down within 1 week. Moose, our German Shepherd, had Wobbler's syndrome, a degenerative disease that was slowly rendering him paralyzed. And Stoney, our Weimaraner, was 14 years old and was barely able to walk due to arthritis. We lost half our pack, and my family was devastated. A few weeks ago, we felt we were finally ready to adopt again, and in turn brought home Diesel, 9-week-old Rottweiler. Anyway, a few nights ago, I was lying in bed and I was absolutely freezing. My room is in the very back of the house, so the heat doesn't reach it very well. I was trying to fall asleep anyway, listening to a few podcasts and doing my best to keep warm, when over my headphones I hear a muffled ringing. took my headphones off and continued to listen as the ringing got closer. Everyone in the house was asleep, and I couldn't figure out what could be making the sound. I shook it off, thinking it was maybe one of the neighbor's cats outside my window. As soon as I returned to what I was doing, I felt my bed jolt, as if someone jumped on it. My door was closed, and the dogs are not allowed on my bed, and even if it was one of them, I'd have heard them come in. As I was trying to figure this out, I felt a warm sensation around my feet and legs, and a slight pressure, as if I was under a heavy blanket, which I was not. As alarming as these sounds, it felt the most calm, or I felt the most calm, I've ever felt in my life. Once I felt this, I instantly knew what it was. "Stony," I whispered, tears welling in my eyes. "Good boy." The warm pressure seemed to settle in further, content. You see, Stony loved to be on furniture of any kind, even though it was strictly forbidden when my parents were around. Every chance he could get, he'd crawl into bed with me, his big body making it almost impossible to share a twin bed with him. I believe with a heavy heart that this was his final goodbye. Let me know what you guys think. Thank you for taking the time to read my story.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I think he came back.
Yeah, that seems to be exactly what it is, and it's a common occurrence, it seems, with pets when they're coming back and saying goodbye or just showing up, mm-hmm. that it's in a situation like that where you feel them and not always necessarily see them, but it's an unmistakable feeling of, oh yeah, there's the pet. Mm-hmm. Or if you're like me, you go, I don't know what the hell that was, and then you have to wait about 30 years and then you figure it out. When you're doing a ghost show, you suddenly connect the dots and go, oh, that was my cat, my ghost cat coming back to mm-hmm. say goodbye. Although it wasn't like a goodbye with her, she just came a lot. She just showed I mean, it wasn't like, oh, one time, and it was like she's at the foot of the bed again. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like there's no cat that does that. The other cat's downstairs. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Ghost kitty. Tim writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. There are some stories in the show that had to do with spirits attached to items. Well, I recently experienced one. This happened to me last March. I live with my roommate who has a girlfriend that is into black magic. It was the week of my birthday. My friend's girlfriend gave me an odd wooden mask of a lizard head for a present. I thought it was weird and I didn't want to accept the gift, so I didn't want to be rude to my roommate's girlfriend, and I accepted it. I put the mask on my desk. Later that night, around 11, my roommate and I heard a loud bang in the kitchen. We inspected the area, but nothing was there. After the strange sound, nothing happened for a day. Having the mask for a week, my roommate leaves off for holiday. I was alone in the apartment, did my usual nightly routine, turning off the lights before going to bed. It was around 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up to use the bathroom, and everything was on, the light, ceiling fan, and the TV. First, I thought maybe I was tired and had forgotten to turn everything off. This occurrence happened the next 3 nights. Everything was on. This was getting creepy and weird. I was positive that everything was off before I went to bed. I was in the living room and figured out what was going on with these odd occurrences. As I was thinking about it, suddenly my bedroom door opened on its own. I freaked out, got up, and left. I didn't want to deal with it after being away from the apartment. All I could think about was, what the hell is causing all this? Only thing I thought, what may be the cause of strange activity, was the mask. The occurrences happened ever since I got it. I said, fuck this. I was not going to take any chances. I got home, put the mask in a bag, and drove behind McDonald's and tossed it in the dumpster. Ever since then, there hasn't been loud bangs or electronics turning on, doors opening on its own. The only odd thing is happening right now is the occasional shadow person. I doubt there's a connection. What do you guys think? Was it the mask or the time being alone? Thanks for reading my story, and have a great day.
I think it was the mask, and I think it was because the roommate's girlfriend wanted you out of the picture.
You think it was,
Here, let's make him think the apartment or flat or whatever is haunted.
Uh-huh.
And get him to move.
So that she could then move in?
Or something. I don't know.
That's an interesting correlation. I think you might be onto something there.
I don't know. Why else would you give some weird-ass haunted lizard mask to somebody?
I mean, it's really not like... that's not like knocking if that's what you're into. It's just one of those things where it's like, Unless you're giving it to someone else who is also into that, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
You have to wonder the thought process on somebody that deemed that the better gift over, like, a gift card to a coffee shop or something.
Sure.
And you can say that really about any, you know, any item. If I was really into collecting porcelain clown figurines, mm-hmm. and absolutely loved it and thought they were the best thing in the world and that was just my thing, if I started giving those as gifts to people, that would be a poor choice by me or poor judgment on my part, because I'd have to understand the rest of everybody out there probably not also into porcelain clown figurines, unless I absolutely knew that they were.
Right, but if you've got a curse or you know it's mm-hmm. haunted or something,
yeah.
then it's a good gift to give to that special person you would like to see disappear.
Then it is. Mm-hmm. Then it's a very good gift. I wonder, I mean, you could start up a whole business like that, especially, you know, special gifts for people you'd like to disappear, online.com. and just sell away and make it more, if you want to be really discreet, does it matter what the gift is, what the object is? Does it, I mean, this was a mask, obviously, which is kind of creepy and odd.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, could it be, you know, could you curse a bouquet of flowers? Could you, you know, insert object here that is not going to be standing out as odd?
Well, the thing is, though, with like a bouquet of flowers, you're going to eventually
they're
going to
go away.
Throw away.
Well, let's say porcelain clown.
Okay.
And you're wanting to give that gift to someone who loves collecting porcelain clowns.
Uh-huh.
Could the curse or the black magic or whatever be put onto the porcelain clown and then given to the person that loves the porcelain clown, so it's not like, oh, shit, this is a really weird gift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can put a curse on most things. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying.
Edible arrangement. Can you put a curse on an edible arrangement?
I think you have to stick to things that are not going to, you know, go bad and be thrown out.
What about be consumed? Can you put a curse on something that you're going to consume? Would that make the curse even stronger because the object is then consumed by the person?
Why would you curse it? Why not just poison it?
Well, because that can be, like, traced. You know?
I don't know.
It's just an odd, you know, it's a silly, bizarre question, but,
yeah,
you know,
it is.
I don't know.
That's why it's got the answer it got.
I don't know. I wonder. Cursed edible arrangements.
That's dumb.
There you go. Why is this watermelon in the shape of a... insert horrible thing here. It's
God.
A gargoyle watermelon. Madison writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny, just wanted to write in and share a few strange experiences I've had lately. The most recent occurrence happened about 4 days ago. I was hanging out in my room, and I hear my friend yell from me across the hall, exclaiming, Maddie, there's ghosts in my room. Intrigued and a little confused, I replied with, huh? It turns out that my friend, we'll call her Kay, was taking pictures with her phone, and she just so happened to capture two orbs in the corner of her bedroom. I decided to whip out my phone and see if I could catch the same thing, and right as the flash came on my phone, I saw an orb fly across my screen. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to capture it in a picture quick enough. Throughout the next several minutes, we kept taking pictures, and we see the same two orbs just hanging out in the room with us. Trying to debunk our pictures, we figured these things couldn't be dust particles for the fact that dust particles tend to move around, and the orbs we captured tend to stay in the same area, moving every other photo. They couldn't have been a reflection off of a window or car lights either, because the blinds were closed on our window. Eventually, I opened up my ghost hunting app, and there was so much EMF detection, and it was detected, it blew our little minds, keeping in mind that I've used the app at different times in the house, and I haven't witnessed these kinds of readings before. Although I'd like your input on ghost hunting apps, since there's no certain way I can personally guarantee the authenticity. That is the word I am trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Not authenticity.
No.
It's a new word, though. I like the authenticity. authenticity of them. There we go. Although using this app in different settings usually tends to give different results, I can't say I understand why these orbs would be here, though. This isn't an old house. It's built around 2008. We're renting this home, so I guess you never know what went on before we came or what's around on the land that it's built on. Another experience I had happened around early June of 2015. If I'm remembering correctly, the same friend, Kay, and I were just talking and enjoying each other's company in the living room. Out of the blue, we hear my name being called, Maddie. Thinking it was my mother, I replied back, but I didn't get an answer. I thought this was odd, but Kay and I continued our conversation. Once again, we both hear my name being said out loud, and I answer back again, and no reply. get up and head to my parents' room to see them both sound asleep, then walk to my sister's room only to discover that she is also sleeping. I don't think anyone was talking in their sleep, since that would be unusual for any of them. And the way my name was being called didn't really sound like it was being said by anyone in my family. It sounded as if it was almost a muted voice, for lack of a better term, or like someone talking into a pillow, but it was clearly calling out my name. The fact that Kay heard it too makes it more surreal, in my opinion. I'll add in that this experience occurred in a different home than the one that was mentioned before, and the neighborhood I was living in was actually built on top of old Native American territory. I've been meaning to share this story in particular with you guys since it happened, because it was just so weird. One more thing I'd like to add in here. I had a good friend of mine pass away very recently, and the night before the morning I found out I wasn't able to sleep at all. Is that pure coincidence? Or could that have been my body sensing something was wrong? Opinions, please. I have plenty more stories to tell that I might share on a later date. Absolutely love the podcast. I always hope you guys have a lovely day or night or whatever, and thanks for reading.
Well, I think the common link between these two stories is the friend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something's following the friend, since it's just when the friend's around and hanging out in the friend's room at the rental house. So maybe it has something to do with her and not so much you.
That's an interesting common string there.
Mm-hmm.
Good catching, Nancy Drew.
Thank you.
That was very good. I wasn't even thinking of that. But I think you're right on. There is some sort of commonality with that. As far as the ghost apps go and such, I don't really know what I would suggest as far as being good or better. I'm not allowed to use them because whenever I do, objects go flying at me that happen to have originated from Jenny's direction. And then the words, "turn that damn thing," also seem to come out of somewhere.
I don't know. The app seems nearby to spike poltergeist activity.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
In this case?
No, I'm joking.
Or just in general, yeah.
Poltergeist activity as in me throwing shit at you.
Oh, yes. Is that all it is?
That's all it is.
It's just they're discovering they're being heard. Mm-hmm. So, we should do some shit right now. I could see that being the case. But I think the only ones I've ever really played with was that ghost radar.
Yeah.
That was it. And to be quite honest, I don't know. I mean, I never have used it going out on an investigation, nor do I go out on investigations very often or ever. But the few times I just kind of played with it around the house and stuff, I got a bunch of random words that I couldn't really, maybe I didn't know what the hell I was doing with it. It kind of runs the gamut of, there was almost a radar thing that would circle. And I don't know, when the dots popped up, if that was supposed to mean there was some sort of energy or presence or what, but there was things all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, nothing really seemed to make a whole lot of sense with it to me. I have heard other people, make sense of it, though. So I think it really, I don't know, it depends what's wanting to show itself and I think where you are with it. If you're in an area where there's not a whole heck of a lot, I think it's just going to generate things. I could be wrong.
And I think the last part of the question about, waking up or not being able to sleep and finding out the friend had passed away, that could just be a sensitivity, empath thing where, you're that close with that person, you can just sense that something's wrong.
I would say that too. I agree. I think that person probably is in that empath area somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's why that occurred. So very good. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Jen writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Not really sure you'd consider this to be a true ghost story, but here it is, told by me and my guide dog, Nikki. It begins when I was a freshman in college, residing on campus. I went to a private college in Raleigh, North Carolina. The dorm I had my room in is named the most haunted campus in America, according to hauntedorm.com. Who would have known?
Hauntedorm.com.
Hauntedorm.com. I've never heard of that one before.
Okay.
But we have had dorm stories.
Oh, yeah.
So
a lot.
That makes sense. Paranormal psychologists decided this due to the collection of dolls in history. The backstory, briefly, is that the founder of the college had a daughter suffering some problems. Her daughter was deaf, and she had some learning issues. She kept her daughter locked away on the fourth floor of a dorm on campus. Every night, the little girl would sneak out to play with one of the dolls. The founder of the college had a collection of dolls she kept locked into the cabinet of the hall, which is in the main building on campus. Every year, the graduating class would add a new doll to this collection in the style of dress from that year. So one day, the little girl took a doll out of the cabinet to play with. In order not to be caught, she took it to play with by the train tracks, which are pretty close to campus. Remember, the little girl is deaf, and when the train came through, she didn't hear it. Now to the story. Finally, every night around 3 a.m., Nikki had to go potty. I'd wake from bed and leash her up. I didn't have to use her harness, as a well-trained guide dog can be led only by a leash. But that's neither here nor there. So Nikki and I dragged ourselves out into the dark night. I would have her in the designated area and encourage her to get it over with. The campus church bells would ring once, but very loud. It was strange. It only rang once when it was 3 in the morning. Nikki and I would be walking back to the ramp to my dorm, and she would suddenly stop. Nikki would do this body block thing and growl. Nikki never growled, so I was spooked. We hustled into the building, and I felt a weight off my shoulders. Now, I said she would go potty almost every night at 3 a.m., and most of the time, it was the same blocking and growling. One night, she growled and barked, which scared me more than you could imagine. I scooted her up to the door. My damned card key wouldn't work. I scanned it over and over, but the door wouldn't open. Nikki was still barking, and now I was in a panic. Now you have to understand and picture this, a total blind girl alone outside during rush week with a barking guide dog and a cam card that didn't work. I was dressed in a cami and shorts only, and I had nothing else. I was scared out of my mind and banging on the door at this point. At last, a girl heard my banging after what seemed like forever and still didn't let me in. She had to call campus police to let me back in, as she wasn't sure I belonged on campus. I'm dressed in night clothing, the only blind girl on campus with a dog. Anyway, the next incident with Nikki and the ghost, I do really believe, was a few weeks later. I was coming out from the shower and Nikki came into the bathroom. Nikki never followed me into the bathroom, so I was weirded out. The next thing she did was even stranger, though. She forced me back into the bathroom and sat in front of me, not allowing me to enter my room. She sat there for a few minutes, blocking me, and suddenly she just got up and walked away. I truly believe Nikki saw the ghost of that little girl, as I was in the same dorm as her. There was also a few times the fire alarm went off for no reason. I recall this one night the alarm went off around 2 or 3 in the morning. I was wearing my Tickle Me Elmo boxer shorts when I was made to go outside. Here's another picture, a total blind girl outside in the cold with my guide dog and Tickle Me Elmo across my ass. That night, Nikki lost it. She pulled out of my grasp and ran. She dashed off barking, and others on scene said it looked as though Nikki was chasing a shadow. All the barking, body blocking, and just plain freakiness led me to move off campus. Nikki never displayed the same behavior ever again. She hated working on campus, but that's where I was going each day. Believe it or not, I know Nikki saw the ghost of that little girl, and it freaked her out. Nikki's gone over the Rainbow Bridge now, but the telling of the story comforts me as much as it freaks me out. Dogs, as well as other animals, see the other side, and Nikki saw something paranormal on my campus. Sorry for the length, but it had to be told. I hope it gets on air, but if it doesn't, I get it. I think folks should hear a story from the perspective of a blind girl and an animal. I'm a proud EPP and adore the show. Thanks, Jen.
With the amount of training that goes into those, you know, service dogs of any type.
Sure.
I think that something really had to scare it, or it had to feel fear for its owner.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it was just a dog acting up.
Yeah, something well beyond just, you know, what it would normally do.
Right.
And I mean, because those dogs, they're trained, they're tested, you know.
They behave better than most children.
Exactly. I mean, for it to do that, there was something that truly, you know, essentially, you know, blew its mind, if you will, you know, as if the same thing would, you know, if a person, you know, for the first time experienced something of that nature, just completely, oh my God, I don't know what, how to handle this.
Right.
And that the dog was reacting in the way that, you know, any animal would just something of that extreme nature. And then to go to beyond its training, that is quite a powerful thing. Thank you for sharing that story, Jenna. Thank you for being an EPP. Dawn writes in, hi guys, love the show. My story happened about 20 years ago when I was 13 or 14 years old, and about a week after the passing of my paternal grandfather. It was the middle of the night, and I awoke from a deep sleep. I was facing the wall and my back towards my bedroom door, which was open approximately 1 foot. When I was younger, I hated having my door closed all the way. Upon waking, I stared at the wall and felt a presence behind me. I had an overwhelming feeling that something or someone was watching me. I slowly turned around and looked at my door. It was too dark in the hallway to make out a figure. However, I felt a man was standing there looking at me. The dim light from my nightlight was reflecting into two areas which would be where the man's eyes were located. My grandfather wore glasses, and instantly I felt it was him standing in my doorway. Maybe not stepping in because he didn't want to frighten me. I smiled and whispered, "Hi, Grandpa." Turned back around and fell back to sleep. The next morning, my mom and I were sitting at the table. My mom is a very close-minded person, not open to new ideas or things, so I decided against telling my mom about seeing Grandpa. However, she surprised me by sharing with me her own story. She told me that she had a dream about seeing my grandfather, and I was in her dream as well. She was in a room, and across the room, my grandfather was sitting in a chair. I was sitting next to him, and he was whispering something in my ear. I began to laugh at whatever it was he was telling me. She got up, moved across the room, and bent down to her knees before his chair. She hugged him and told him bye. She woke up, tears streaming down her cheeks, and she was clutching her chest as if she was still hugging him. When she told me about her dream, I decided it was safe to let her know about him visiting me during the same night. My mom's eyes welled up with tears, and at first she didn't believe me. I swore to her I wasn't making it up. This wasn't the first time I was visited by deceased relatives. She hugged me, and we both shed tears. To this day, we're convinced that my grandfather visited us both that night, a week after he passed away.
I think it's good that people that wouldn't normally be open to these experiences, that they have it with somebody that they know and trust.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can kind of wrap their mind around, okay, I'm not just losing it. That happened to me, but then this happened to my daughter.
Sure.
I think it's a good thing.
And it's not some random, who is this?
Yeah.
Which would kind of freak anybody out. Even
right.
If it's just a stranger showing up, more worse, a stranger ghost. Mm-hmm. This is more the, hey, okay, I'm a ghost, but you know me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it that much better. I agree. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Mike writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Mike from all over. Haven't written in a while because I've told most of my stories that have any kind of narrative beyond a knock in the middle of the night or dogs following something unseen with their eyes. But I heard the recent story of the listener that had the dark figure in his basement and then peeking down from the attic. There was talk of some correlation to the black metal he was listening to at the time. This reminded me of an event in my life and inspired me to share a viewpoint. I am and was a baker back then, working at 4 a.m. in San Diego. For a period of time, I was the first one to arrive at work alone for 2 hours or so, show up, turn on the lights and oven and such, and connect my iPod to the radio dock and get to work. Listen to an array of music, but I do like the heavier stuff. My coworkers are more into the pop radio crap that I had to endure, so I reserve my metal, my metal to the mornings. Often I'd blare Slipknot or the like while I had the opportunity. Wake me up, get me amped up for the long days of baking ahead. Not every morning, but occasionally, I get that vibe that I was not alone. Most of the time, I chalked it up to being by myself so early in the day on a largely abandoned street at that hour. The all-nighter shifts at my job in Seattle were creepier, but I digress. There was that rare incident that just made my hackles rise. I'd be at the sink washing dishes and suddenly feel like something was rushing me from behind. One of those days, or one day, the dishes would wait until my coworkers arrived. There was a drying rack for buckets above the sink. Something was banging around and caused one of them to shimmy off and fall. Only in the morning did the bucket smack my head or back when I was on the other side of the room. Sometimes when I played metal, the track would change to something mellow. Sometimes the music would just cut out. Again, this only happened in the early morning hours. Just to offer a quick one about Seattle, the same iPod flew across the room at me and smacked my back when I was plugged into two wires and pushed back against the wall on a counter. I don't think there's anything demonic or evil about heavy metal. I do think that in death, as in life, many people and ghosts don't tolerate that kind of music and aggressively take steps to turn it off. Just some food for thought. Just to add one more tidbit of creepiness, when I worked in Seattle, it was in a cafe in what looked like some old converted mansion. Almost every morning at 4:15 a.m., something would happen. I'd hear chairs move or silverware get tossed in the floor, in the dining room. The iPod incident was at that time. While cutting dough, I turned and saw in my peripheral vision a white figure looking at me from over by the mixer. I absolutely hated running out of things because the backup was stored in the attic. You had to climb the stairs to move halfway into the room before there was a light switch. It was awful. Anyway, thanks for the show.
I think that it's not so much that the activity only happened in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was just probably only noticeable in a busy place like that when it's fairly empty.
That's a good point. You have a lot of other distractions going on, a lot of other activity, and you can easily write off something falling or something banging to another person did it.
Yeah.
If you have no one else there to account for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. That's an interesting thing. I do agree, though, too, with the writer about, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't like a certain type of music, you don't like this or that, and if you're the ghost that's stuck there, and you have to, just the same way he feels about the pop music, they probably feel the same way about the heavy metal. It's like, okay, I can control some electronic devices. If I can do anything, I'm going to, you know, control this one.
Yeah.
So I think that very much is probably what was going on. Samantha writes in, hey, I adore your show and thought I should share one of my many stories. Last year, I moved to a new house, not too old. It was built in the 70s, I believe. Anyway, the summer after I moved, there was a day where my parents and siblings were gone. They had to run errands, and I decided to stay behind. And so did my younger teen sister. I was downstairs in my kitchen, and from upstairs, I heard a voice call my name. I called up the stairs and asked what she wanted, but there was no answer. Instead of going upstairs to see what was going on, I did what any sister would do. I ignored her. So about 5 minutes later, I heard her again calling my name. So I ran upstairs and stood in the hallway. I asked once again what she wanted, and no answer. Her voice sounded odd, not like hers at all. I continued to stand in the hallway. Next thing I knew, I hear this brutal sheer shout, Samantha, help me! Of course, in an instant, I sprinted towards the room that me and my sister share. My heart was racing. I prayed she wasn't hurt. As I enter the room, she isn't in sight. Of course, I was about to go check all of the rooms to find her, but before I could, my phone began to ring. Confused by the caller ID with my sister's name on it, I answered. She wanted to know if I needed anything from the store. I told her that I thought she stayed home with me, and she verified that she decided last minute to go. Anyway, I didn't hear or see anything else until the next morning, when I woke up to see a young woman standing across my bedroom. I sat up, making sure I was fully awake. She turned around and mouthed my name, then disappeared before my eyes. I didn't tell anyone about this experience until one day my mother started talking to me about a ghost girl she saw in her house. She described the girl that I saw down to the clothing. I'd like to get your opinion on this. Nobody ever died in the house. She was wearing somewhat modern clothing. So where did she come from, if this is even a ghost?
There's no telling where she came from. She could just be a passing through ghost, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have picked her up someplace by accident. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Could come with an object. Could come with a passing through. Could be a lot of possibilities. And wearing modern clothing, that's probably just a fresh ghost.
fresh ghost, for
lack of a better term. You know, not trying to insult ghosts, but probably one that is, you know, newer to the ghost community as far as a recent passer over. It doesn't always necessarily take living in an older home to have the unexplained show up. And on that note, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for sharing your stories, everybody. If you like the show, don't miss our EPP bonus episodes. Next one's coming out on Friday. You can get access to all of them when you sign up on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP. Get those and bonus video material. Lots of nice little extras for you as a thank you for supporting the show. It's only $5 a month, or if you do a full year, you get one of those months free. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP and help keep this thing on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.